We have green light. It's 6 o'clock. I'd like to call to order the Planning Commission meeting for the City of Aurora Grande. It is Tuesday, May 17th. It is 6 o'clock. We have a roll call, please.
Chair Martin.
Here.
Vice Chair Maravilla. Commissioner Buchanan.
Here.
Commissioner Guthrie.
Here.
And Commissioner Shira.
Here.
Okay, we're all pleasant. We're all pleasant. We're all pleasant. We're also very present as well. We don't have a particularly long agenda here tonight, but there's any desire to revise the order of the agenda by anybody sitting on the commission? Seeing none, we will proceed as it is printed and presented. The next item, number 5, is community comments and suggestions. This is a public comment period. Oh, I'm complete. I can't. Thank you.
You're welcome. Just
completely forgot our flag salute. My apologies. Ms. Maravilla, I'm going to ask Commissioner Guthrie to do this since he is here with us and not with us as in Zoom. So, Commissioner Guthrie, please may we all rise and stand and Mr. Guthrie lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's see if I can count in this regular order here. We've gone the agenda review. Item 5 is our public comment period. This is traditionally held at the front end of the Planning Commission meetings. It is an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on tonight's agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission, and members of the public may provide public comment remotely by joining the Zoom meeting utilizing one of the methods provided by the city. Is there anyone that would like to make a comment at this point? Can we check on Zoom to see if there is someone that would like to make a community comment at this time?
If any members of the public on Zoom would like to make a comment on this item, please raise your hand. Chair Martin, there are no raised hands.
Very good. I will now close the community comment period and we will proceed. Next on our agenda is written communications. We received one this afternoon that I have. Are there any other written communications that were received late in the day that we do not already have in our packet?
No, Chair Martin, just the one supplemental item that was provided earlier.
Very good. The item that we received is refers to related to item 8A and will be included in the discussion at that point. Number 7 is the consent agenda. We have 2 items on the consent agenda. 7A, the approval of the minutes, and 7B, consideration of time extension 22002 for the conditional use permit 19-002, a 1-year time extension in accordance with the Aurora Grande Municipal Code. The location of the projects is at 207 Pilgrim Way. Applicant is David Mee and represented by Warren Hamrick. I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda, items 7A and 7B.
Very good. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Guthrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Maravilla? And Chair Martin?
Yes. Very good. Thank you very much. The next item is 8A. We have one public hearing item tonight. It's consideration of a tentative tract map 21-001 and conditional use permit 22-002, subdivision and construction of 9 two-story residential units and a two-story mixed-use structure at 1214 East Grand and 181 North Elm Street. The applicant is Floyd. We have a presentation.
Yep.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chair Martin.
Perez, thank you.
Yeah, so I'm Andrew Perez, your planning manager, and I'll be presenting the staff report for the applications for the tentative tract map and the conditional use permit. The project site consists of two parcels at 1214 East Grand Avenue and 181 North Elm Street. Combined, they are 39,250 square feet, or 0.90 acres. Both parcels are zoned gateway mixed use, and existing development on the site consists of a 372 square foot commercial building near the Grand Avenue frontage and a 1,750 square foot single family residence on the North Elm parcel. The applicant has submitted a tract map application to subdivide the two parcels into 12 condominium lots and a conditional use permit application to construct a phased mixed-use development consisting of 9 new multifamily residential units and a two-story mixed-use building. The mixed-use building will have approximately 2,000 square feet of commercial space on the ground floor with a 2,000 square foot residential unit above. So as I mentioned, the tract map will establish 12 condominium units. In phase one, that will allow for 9 new residential units, and it will convert the existing single-family residential unit into a condominium. Phase two will include commercial condo as well as the new residential condo. And just as with all condominium projects, all areas outside the building footprints will be held in common ownership and maintained by a homeowners association. So the general plan land use designation for both parcels is mixed use. So this project is consistent with the general plan and is supported by several elements of the land use element and the housing element. Specifically, the land use element encourages high quality site planning and design along the Grand Avenue corridor, and housing element policies A5 and A15 promote housing within mixed use projects, and A15 specifically promotes missing middle housing types, such as townhouses, which are being proposed here tonight. So the real purpose of the Gateway Mixed Use Zoning District is to provide for areas for financial institutions, retail, office, and commercial uses, mixed use developments with multifamily residential above retail and office uses. It especially promotes the residential floors or residential units above offices facing East Grand Avenue. So taking a little closer look at phase one of the project. So the new units, despite being available for individual sale, are considered multifamily units for purposes of permitting by the municipal code because they meet the definition of a city house development. And that is defined as a building style with three or more attached dwellings where no unit is located over another residential unit. So looking at the applications that were submitted, the mixed-use project, which includes the commercial component and the multifamily residential, requires a conditional use permit, which is the reason we're here this evening. So each of the 9 new residential units in phase one will have an identical floor plan. The first floor consists of a two-car garage with areas for storage and laundry, as well as the master suite. And then moving upstairs, 2 additional bedrooms, 1 bathroom, and then an open concept where you have your kitchen, dining area, as well as your living area. Moving down to the phase two, the mixed-use portion, of ground floor commercial, second floor residential, with a parking area behind. The parking area will be shared by both the commercial and residential uses. So the ground floor commercial suite is being developed as just a shell at the moment. When a tenant is secured, they will come in with a building application for the tenant improvements, whatever they might need at that time. And then looking at the second floor, three-bedroom unit with a great room where all the living space will is provided, as well as an ensuite laundry and a second-floor deck. In regards to parking, phase one has a parking requirement of 25 spaces. Each multifamily unit has a parking requirement of 2 spaces, and 5 guest spaces are also required, so 25 in total, and the code is being provided or being met in this phase. Phase 2 has a total parking requirement of 10 spaces. That it consists of 2 spaces for the residential unit and 8 spaces for the commercial floor or the commercial unit. That's calculated at 1 parking space for every 250 square feet of gross commercial floor area. So the parking requirement is 10 spaces, but the project only proposes to provide 9, and the applicant is requesting a shared parking reduction, which can be approved by the Planning Commission and is available for mixed-use projects when both commercial and residential uses are proposed. And really the intent behind that is commercial and residential tend to have different peak demands for parking, whereas commercial would be during business hours when it's assumed that residents are at work or school. And then once the business hours close, residents will come home, be able to utilize the parking. So the applicant is requesting that 1 space reduction of the parking requirement. Looking at residential density, the maximum density in this zoning district is 25 dwelling units per acre. At 0.90 acres, this site can accommodate up to 22.5 density equivalent units. And I say density equivalent units because density in mixed-use zones is not calculated on a straight one-for-one basis. The density equivalent is based on the number of bedrooms proposed in a unit. So, for example, here we have a 2-bedroom single-family dwelling, which counts as 1 density equivalent unit, and the 3-bedroom units count as 1.5 units each. So doing the math, we end up with 16 density equivalent units proposed, which is well within the 22.5 maximum. Moving on to architecture, the proposed residences don't really fit into a don't neatly fit into any architectural style. They have low-pitched gable roofs, stucco cladding. They have exposed rafter tails, outlookers, and some exposed beams to add some character and visual appeal. Stucco cladding is the primary exterior material. There's the exposed wood will be stained in a dark walnut. And then we have a blue color proposed for the awnings, some of the window trim, and then a beige for other areas of trim. Here's 2 elevations of phase 1 with the north and the south. And looking at phase 2, here we have a more of a modern style architecture for the mixed-use building. Large glass storefront, large glass windows on the ground floor, the commercial area, and then moving upstairs, more stucco siding, the exterior deck. And really, the I think the most prominent feature here is the reclaimed wood rain screen on the south elevation. And it's also included the same material on the west elevation here to add a little character. So looking at landscaping, 7 existing trees are proposed to be removed with this project. The applicant did provide an arborist report, and nearly all the trees removed are in bad health and will be replaced with 3 new Chinese passage trees along the western property line. A wide variety of low water use shrubs and grasses are proposed in and around the structures, and all will be irrigated with drip irrigation and compliant with the bottled water efficiency landscape ordinance. Looking at the environmental review component, the project was deemed to be categorically exempt from further CEQA review pursuant to section 15332 of the CEQA guidelines for infill development. And as a reminder, to qualify for this exemption, a project must be consistent with the general plan, be proposed on a project site of less than 5 acres, The site must have no value for endangered species. The approval would not result in significant impact to traffic, air, water quality, or noise. And finally, the site can be served by utilities and public services that are already existing. So finish up with the recommendation, and staff does recommend that the Planning Commission adopt the prepared resolution approving the subject project. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to field those now.
Thank you very much, Mr. Perez. Bringing it back to the commission, I'm assuming that we're going to have questions from two staff from the commissions. Mr. Guthrie, would you like to start?
I'm going to start.
Yes, okay. Please.
So I guess my first question, because this will be the first time I've actually seen a condominium unit with a commercial component. So the commercial building is just another member of the condominium association and participates based on the rules will be written to take that into account.
That's correct. Yeah, okay. They'd have equal standing with the other 11 condo unit owners.
Okay. And then relating to parking, so when I look at, I'm looking at the next to last page that shows the, what page is this? This is L12 of 9, sheet number L12 of 9. And what I'm looking at is I see on the upper condominium project, it looks like an ADA space up there. Are ADA spaces normally required in a residential condo?
No, they're not.
Okay, so this is a requirement of, is it part of meeting the ADA requirement for the commercial property that's 6 or 8 feet below it?
No, the commercial component has its own ADA space. And I believe if you have less than 25 spaces, you only need to provide one ADA accessible parking space.
So they don't really need the ADA space up on top to meet code?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
The other question I had, and I should have looked quicker when you're doing the opening slide, but is a live workspace permitted in the gateway section? And the reason I'm going to ask that is that a live workspace, if the commercial or the condo up above it were labeled a live work, I'm not proposing that we're going to change it, would they only need a half space for the code?
That's a good question. I have the land use. The allowed land use is here. I can look it up here for you in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like that's not allowed in the zone.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Those were my questions. Thanks.
Mr. Buchanan, you have questions?
I do. No, I don't think I actually have any questions for staff. Most of my questions are directed at the applicant.
Directed toward the applicant?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Shiro?
I have no questions for staff at this time.
Okay. I do have a couple questions. And one that just the way I heard it, the way this project has been presented and submitted to the city, I heard you say the reason we are here tonight is for the CUP for the mixed use. Is that the only item that's really on our agenda, or are we really looking at the entire project?
It's the entire project. That was misstated.
Understated the scope of what we're looking at.
Yeah, so this Planning Commission has purview over the tentative tract map,
right,
and the conditional use permit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the goal, ultimately, I certainly understand there's phase one and phase two, but is the goal that this is going to be result in a single underlying lot that is just being separated into phase one or phase two? Or is it really going to, is the tract map going to, the property line is going to be altered to have two separate lots?
It would be a single lot. Essentially think of it as a lot merger and then creating the 12 condo lots on that one common interest lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make it clear in my mind what it is that we're really looking at. I don't have any issue or problem. In some ways, I think it makes it a little easier. And when we talked about the parking reduction of to 80%. Wouldn't they meet that with just the phase two project anyway, going from 10 spaces to 9 would be a 10% reduction, so they don't really need to include the 25 spaces above as part of that calculation?
Yeah, you could look at it just phase
as a phase two as a partial.
Yeah, so it, you wouldn't need to grant the entire 20% reduction.
Right.
In this case, it could be, you know,
well, certainly, but
a 10% reduction just for phase two.
Right. And then when I look between these two phases, is there going to be a stairway or pathway access between these two phases? Or are they going to end up, when it's all said and done, functionally, it's going to work as two separate, I'll say two separate projects?
The latter. So due to the extensive amount of grading and topography that currently exists, there's going to be a, I think, between a 5 or 6 foot retaining wall between the two phases.
Right.
That's going to prevent any, any kind of circulation between the two.
Okay. Here again, I don't have any problem with that. I just wanted to try to make that for people that may not be as familiar with reading blueprints, you know, gee, are we doing two projects? Are we doing one project? What are we doing? I'm trying to get some clarification on the scope and how this thing is unfolding here. And I know this may be a redundant question, and I'm sure it has been asked 24 times, at least on this project. Obviously, there's going to be an increase in water use with the development of this project. And I'm just taking the fair assumption that the water department has looked at this and the increased use and the impact it has on the water supply we have in our community.
Yes. Yeah, we've run it through our public works at our staff advisory committee meetings, and they're on board with this development.
Okay. Those are the questions I have. At this time, I'd like to invite the applicant to come forward and make a presentation or answer questions or do introduce yourself and just make your presentation.
Sure. Is this on?
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Fred Porter. I'm the engineer on the project. We're in agreement with Andrew's presentation and synopsis of the project. We did come in here a couple of years ago, right before COVID hit, and we got approval for an apartment project on the property, the same exact units. But when we ran the numbers, it doesn't pencil for apartments. So in order to make the project functional and work, we had to go with the condo concept. These are going to be nice, 55 square feet units, three bedrooms. Each unit has a deck on the second floor, which is, a nice feature for it. So we're pleased with the project, but in order to make it work, we're going with a condo. Andrew's correct. When we do a condo, it's called a tract map for condominium purposes. You have to have those words on the tract map in order to make it work as a condo. And then we'll do the first 9 units plus the house, because the house is part of it now. Those will be the first condos, and there will be CCNRs, and we'll have to provide paperwork to the Department of Real Estate for the condos. And then when we come in for the second phase, we have to do an amendment to the condo plan to add the second phase, the commercial building. And by the way, I'm an engineer surveyor, and we do a lot of commercial condos in today's world. It seems like a lot of the doctors like the condo concept in larger commercial office space. So we do quite a bit of that. So if you have any questions for me, I'll be happy to answer those.
Well, don't move.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what the commission may have for you, but as long as you're right here. Mr. Buchanan, you have questions for the applicant?
Yes. So I'm curious to know more about why you said an apartment project wouldn't pencil out here. I don't understand your entire process. I have some assumptions based on the development codes laid out here, but I'm wondering if you could just fill us in on some more details.
Well, for the cost of the construction, and the land and the permitting were up over $500,000 a unit. There's no bank would loan you money to do, you know, an apartment project for that amount of money. So in order to make it work, you can do a condo and you'll recoup a profit on the project. But we checked around for loans and nobody's going to loan you any money on it. This doesn't work. So so in order to make this functional, you have to do something like a condo unit.
Great, thanks. So one of the things that stood out to me is I love the project itself, and I love the design here. I noticed we're butting right up against the max height for the development code here. Would three stories have been something you would have considered had the
development code allowed? We did consider that early on. This process took quite a while to get done. And when we first, this was prior to Andrew being here, the first planners we met, they said, we're not going to support three-story unit because there's going to be opposition from neighbors for the view and so forth. So we kept it at a two-story unit. But a three-story unit would have been, you know, more advantageous for the site. But then we run into the parking issue. You know, you've got more units, and so where are you going to park them, you know? And so we looked at that, we've done projects in other areas. They call them carriage units, where you have three stories in the garage, a tandem parking in the garage, has the same footprint in the building code. It allows for a carriage unit with the same footprint from the bottom floor, the second floor, as far as the perimeter boundary, and the third floor. But when we met 4 years ago, we were told, no, that's probably not going to fly. So we went this route.
Great. So that's also a pattern I'm picking up on here, is that, again, we're butting right up against the parking requirements and the height limits, yet we only have a floor area ratio of 0.57, which is, you know, a little over a third of what might be allowed there. Seems like parking might be the limited factor. Do you... have you found in previous projects that all the parking, if it's required in the manner it is here, goes used, or have you seen projects with less parking that still become feasible for tenants or buyers who are completely comfortable with less?
I don't particularly like less. I think it's better to have, the more parking you have, the better it is for everybody, for guests but we've done projects with just a requirement of two units per space, and you have two units plus a half for extra parking. So,
great. Thanks for sharing your thoughts there. I think that's all I have.
Okay,
Mr. Schauer, you have questions for the applicant.
First of all, I'd like to thank Commissioner Buchanan for taking all my questions. I just wanted to make sure. So, you're saying that 3 or 4 years ago, when you guys met with staff, that it was staff that was not for
right.
The three. Okay, okay, that's all. Thank you very much.
Okay,
that's all I have,
Mr. Guthrie.
I'll just follow up on my question about the. I've seen commercial condos, but they were all commercial units. This is a mix of residential commercial, which I haven't seen before. What prompted my question is a concern about, so when you come back to build this commercial unit, particularly if you sold the condos already, which frankly I think is going to be likely in this case, then you're going to have to get permission. If you need to alter this commercial project at all, you're going to need permission of that condo. And that complication is that, am I accurately describing how that would work, or would you build in that the condo can do with the commercial?
In a condo project, You're selling airspace. You're not selling the dirt. You're selling the space between the first floor and the second floor on a commercial, commercial / residential development. So the above the ceiling, that belongs to the association. Below the floor, to the ceiling below, that belongs to the association. And from the floor down belongs to the association. So it's the airspace that somebody's purchasing, and that's the way all condos work.
Well, I'll give you an example. In a condo that I lived in, you weren't allowed to change anything about your exterior facade at all, for
example. That's usually in the CCNRs. That's the way it works, because you want it to be homogeneous and consistent.
No, I understand why it's there. I'm just wondering, when you have this commercial project here, if you come back later and want to, you know, change even the facade of it, you would need some sort of permission from the rest of this whole residential.
You'd have to come back to this committee and to get approval for that.
You'd need to come to the committee, but you would also have to go to your. I just want to be
that's
sure.
Correct.
You,
that's
you,
correct.
You need the permission of your condo.
That's correct.
So, okay. I just want to clarify that, because I'm starting to get into the comments. The second question is did you put an ADA unit, ADA parking space on top on purpose?
We have an ADA space on phase two and an ADA space in phase one. Yes.
Okay. That's not required. The one in the residential is not required. And taking your comment about wanting as much parking as possible,
well,
I'm just curious why you
have an
ADA space.
Different opinions from building officials on that, and so we always include an ADA. Just
okay.
you could have a visitor come and need ADA space, so we provide that.
Okay, so that may not be us requiring, but at some okay.
Right.
Yeah. Just to answer those two questions. I have some comments, but that's my question.
Okay, thank you. The question I have, if you look at the phase two, the mixed-use unit, it looks to me like the only access to the upstairs residential unit is off of a doorway facing Grand Avenue.
That's correct.
So the expectation is that if I buy this residential unit upstairs, I'm going to be parking in the back, and if I've got my groceries or whatever I'm doing, I'm going to be walking down that driveway around the front of that building and up the stairs.
That's correct.
Was there any thought given to provide for a back stairway to that second unit? It just seems, to me, it seems really inconvenient. And, you know, before anything gets built, it's an easy time now to make that kind of change or alteration.
Yeah, we had it, everything come off of the street at the front. That's the main entrance into the facility.
Yeah, from a utility aspect, and that doesn't seem very functional to me for that second story residential unit there down in the front. And then on the ground floor, is there, even in the planning stage, a potential for splitting that retail space into 2,000 square foot, you know, plus or minus leasable
space? That is a possibility. You know, it just depends on what tenants you get to come in. Some people want smaller spaces, some want larger, and so that'll all be a function of the market.
Right.
So
I know these are obviously preliminary drawings, but I would encourage doing some of the plumbing infrastructure for a second restroom on that ground floor unit, a 2,000 square foot unit, whether it's an office or retail or potentially, you know, two retail.
Well, the restroom facilities will be a common restroom for if there's two spaces downstairs, it'll be a common restroom for both spaces.
Yeah, it's the way it's oriented. And here again, this is all a preliminary drawing, but the way it's oriented.
Right, that was the idea.
Okay. Those are the only questions that I have. For the applicant, if there are not any more, I'll say thank you for your presentation.
You're welcome.
At this point, I'm going to open it up to the public for public comment on this item 8A. If there's anyone from the public that would like to speak on this item before us tonight on this mixed-use condominium project, now is the appropriate time. If I can get assistance from the powers that be here to invite people that are not here in our audience.
Chair Martin, there are currently no members of the public on Zoom.
Okay. That being the case, second gentleman out there is not prepared to say anything at this point. I'm not going to force it on anything. I'm going to close public comment at this point then and return it to the commission. Are there any other questions for staff at this point? It's a fairly straightforward process, but I think if not, we can
get into comments before I entertain a motion.
Go ahead. One question for staff. So when we have a mixed-use project, I realize we require some commercial component. Is there any percentage commercial component to the residential? I'm using it as an example, the one that they're now building on the corner of Harlow and
Fair Oaks and Halcyon.
There we go. Fair Oaks and Halcyon, where they have a 500 square foot coffee shop, and I'm going to say probably 30,000 square feet of residential. Mm-hmm. So is there any ratio we require, or is it just?
No, there's not. I think that topic will be discussed when we, begin our comprehensive general plan update. Mm-hmm. We've heard from members of council and the commission that there might be a desire to see a certain ratio to ensure a little more commercial in some of these projects.
Okay. I do have a question.
Sure.
So as you can tell by my line of questions here, seeing the development standards and the way they're met here, it's kind of frustrating to see. Like we're butting right up against the height limit with two stories, and as we heard from, three stories would have made different types of projects here much more feasible. We're actually below the parking requirements, but yet still the FAR here is only 0.57, and could easily squeeze, maybe Porch's words, I don't even think it requires squeezing, but putting more homes on this site within that floor area ratio, within other standards here. Is it within our purview here to maybe grant some loosened height restrictions here? Should the applicant even be interested in that at this point?
Well, I think there's a couple of factors that really played into the design of this development. Due to the depth of the lot, the fire department required a turnaround, which is why there's that wide access way. And then Pettigrew popped up here. Look at that phase one specifically. So along this western portion of the site, that area dedicated to the fire department turnaround. So, with that space being eliminated, and if there's a little less depth to this lot, it could have really changed the product type. And then, the existing single family home, if that were to be, raised, and perhaps more units could have been fit there, but that's a developer's decision based on several factors. And we also have the topography of the site, which I think came into play. They had to, retain a lot of dirt between phase one and phase two. That really didn't allow for a whole lot of flexibility based on this design concept. But I think, getting to your question, I think it's an appropriate time to, express your support for, three-story developments pushing up against that 35-foot height limit. This is definitely the proper form.
Okay, sure. So I guess maybe going further than pushing for, I look at the height now, which is at 28 feet. There's 7 feet there. I'm not sure that leaves room for another story. As we heard from it, it didn't sound like there was previously, support for three stories there, whatever that means, and however that relates to the development code. I appreciate the challenges the design of the lot posed here. I think again, it can always go up, and that's even what we just heard from was, initially a concept they were looking at here. What kind of flexibility do we have with that max height standard here?
So going beyond the 35 feet would require the applicant to submit an application for variance, which would require another public hearing in front of this commission.
Okay. Understood. So I guess what I want to do is express support for that variance, and I guess that's all I could do now. Thanks.
Okay. I have a question at this point as well. I'm looking at page 33 of 65 in our packet, It'll come as, I think it's on page 9 of the resolution. It's item 31. And it's under the applicant shall submit CC&Rs that are administered by a homeowners association. There are four that are there. And I'd like to highlight just the fact that, you know, item C is requiring garages to be kept clear for parking cars, hopefully to limit the, I'll say, storage or long-term storage of boats and trailers and other items, whatever, from the shared common area parking space really reserved for visitors. Part of my issue when I look at projects like this is not only visitors, but people in the trades that are coming and making repairs. You got a plumber or electrician that wants to come. So often they come into these projects and there's no place for them to park that's really convenient. And that's going to be in the rear and a little bit awkward, but at least they can get someplace off street for them to be able to park and to conduct their business while they're there. I'm wondering, given the some of the vagueness and some of the problems we've had of adding an item E, prohibiting a future use of any of these condos as a short-term vacation rental, and having that actually memorialized within the CC&Rs, it may help avoid a problem in the future. I don't know how trying to get into the weeds of our vacation rental ordinance, they may not be allowed in a condo development like this to begin with, but I think having that memorialized in these CC&Rs would probably be inappropriate or helpful statement to be able to make.
Yeah, that's certainly within the purview of the Planning Commission if the four of you, or five of you, or four of you, maybe the step down, but if you want to impose that additional requirement, that's certainly within reason.
Would you go through that? Repeat that again?
Yeah, I'll repeat that. On page 33 of the resolution, it's actually page 9 of the resolution, but page 33 in our packet, item 31 calls for CC&Rs to be, you know, as part of the CC&Rs, there are four items to be required, and I'm proposing that we add an additional one prohibiting any future use, precluding any kind of application for a short-term vacation rental coming from any of the condos here, just for matters of clarification. Those are the only questions that I have. Any comments before we hit?
I've got just comments. One question.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
Question yeah. Following up on that. But.
So just kind of backing up into a more of a general history question regarding applications. How often does it did proposals come to staff where there's talk of either additional density or additional height, where I know staff would be speaking when it was said, staff wouldn't be in support of that. Is there any discussion to, is there any discussion and information given to potential applicants that hints to the fact that Planning Commission and City Council may be open to a variance? How's that handled? Obviously where I'm going, I'm afraid in a way, maybe potential squashing of projects before, for an applicant when they wouldn't be for it and they don't want to do that. How often does that happen? I guess is my question.
I would say it's pretty rare, especially in my experience, being here almost 4 years. I've had a project come through with that was three stories and got approved by the Planning Commission at 1136 East Grand. That was a couple of years ago. And generally the discussions that happen at the initial phases, ideally applicants come to the counter, just kind of have a casual conversation about, what they're thinking and what staff's position is, what the history of our permitting has been. And then if they want to take a step further, they can take a pre-application to either the Planning Commission or City Council to get some formal feedback from either of those bodies.
Right. Okay, thank you. That's all my questions.
I was going to add to in the past also, I'm not familiar necessarily with the old housing element But we do have a new housing element from 2020 to 2028. So some of the policies have likely changed that potentially support housing, maybe more densification where appropriate. So that may have changed as well from the past when staff was talking to folks.
So you're saying when we hear stories of, like that, there's a good chance that that may change now because of our different element.
Right. We could be under a different climate right. In some ways. Yeah.
And Chair Martin, if I could jump in real quick.
Certainly.
So with regards to your last comment about the short-term vacation rentals.
Yes.
If council or if the commission did feel strongly about prohibiting short-term rentals in this development, I would recommend including a special condition outside of the CCNRs. We've had issues where the city doesn't get involved with enforcement in private HOAs. So we would have more leverage if it was a special condition rather than included in the CCNRs.
Which at some level even raises another question for me, because if I can, and I'm not an attorney, but I do deal with CCNRs on a regular basis and, professionally. And I understand and respect the city's position in not getting involved in interpreting CCNRs as they typically are become a civil matter for the participants within that particular, development. And I don't have any problem creating a special condition or specific condition for this. I guess for a buyer of a condominium, a future buyer that's coming in, having this memorialized, much like they're talking about, condition 31, they want to memorialize the fact that the garage is going to be kept clear for parking cars. If that gets memorialized in the CCNRs, why wouldn't it also be appropriate to include and memorialize the short-term vacation rental limitation, in the same manner? To me, even if we made it a special condition, I would still like to see it included and memorialized in that way, because if these can be bought and sold, and if in 5 years I might be the third buyer, second or third buyer to this condominium, and we've already had an experience, where a potential buyer could come in with this expressed interest in using that as a second home or whatever, and then think that they can go through the process to qualify as a vacation rental. And having it memorialized in the CCNRs is an easy way just to have that become public information for any kind of applicant that would appear in a preliminary title report or something on a property at that point.
Yeah, so I think that's a very valid point. And including it in both a separate condition and in condition number 31, I think, is a great solution.
Okay, I'm going to include that as part of the... the motion, when the motion is made to have that as a condition, I'm not sure where in which number that should be. I'm going to leave it to staff to kind of point the appropriate location for where that would be ideally included in this resolution. But if any other comments that commissioners would like to say before we get a motion here, or, go ahead, Mr. Guthrie.
So I'm glad you clarified the CCNR question. That was going to be my next question, is we don't enforce CCNRs. I guess I'll just start with my comments on this. First, I'll say I'm disappointed it isn't apartments, because I happen to think we really need apartments. I think that in some ways the way this was designed to be, if you use 36 parking spaces for 18 parking spaces, you could have had 18 one-bedroom apartments or something. So there are other ways to do apartments, to make apartments work. I'm not doing the arithmetic here, but I'm just saying that other solution, which leads me to, I understand the concern about three stories. I will tell you, three stories have been controversial on Grand Avenue, that we're going to turn it into the Grand Canyon, was the comment that we got, just for, even though they're the same height, but they're three stories instead. We have done three-story buildings, but it's going to have to be in the development code, or it's just not going to happen for a whole number of reasons. So, and I will say that when I first was on Planning Commission, we had a lot of variances. City Attorney did not like that at all. So the City Attorney discourages variances. But when we redid the general plan, I don't remember doing a variance after that. I'm sure we did, but I don't remember it. So I do think that that's where this kind of action has to take place. You eliminate the need for variances by opening up the whole process. My biggest concern with this, because really all we're considering tonight, as far as I'm concerned, was the switch from apartments to condos, is that when it goes from a condo, that it complicates the commercial unit. I personally don't think this commercial building will be built as it's shown here. It will almost certainly be changed, I think, probably quite a bit. And it's going to take some creative flexibility in order to get that done, whether that's waiting until you can get three stories or getting a variance for three stories in anticipation of that, or I'm actually thinking about going the other way on commercial, that in certain locations, like maybe here, there's no commercial component, and that once you get down to that, this is more functional as 12 studios instead of a commercial project that uses up all of the parking when the parking would be much more valuable as residential. So I think somehow we need to deal with that. And I also think that in the long run, we'll need to deal with minimum density, not just maximum density, but minimum density. So it says in this particular zone, if you're going to build, we don't want to build essentially single family homes, 1,350 square foot homes. We want smaller spaces for smaller families or singles or whatever. So I guess where I was hoping we could go, I could see this being a major issue if 5 years from now you want to come back, or even 2 years, once you've sold the condos, the condo particularly that sits closest to this commercial property is not going to want to see three stories. This is probably not going to want to see any changes to this at all, and that it'll be difficult to get the condominium association on your side for any significant changes. So I was going to suggest something like the CC&Rs, but remembering that we don't enforce them, but at least there would be the ability of whoever owned this condo to enforce a CC&R rule that says that something like the condominium will always permit this last space to be built out to whatever's approved by the city under different codes, which would give them sort of guaranteed the flexibility to change this, maybe change it a lot, maybe change it a little, and they would not be at the mercy of now the residents right next door who not only might object to it, but actually have control of it. So I don't know quite how we could accomplish that, if that's a CC&R, if that's a, you know, something, I've forgotten what you call it, putting it directly on the deed, I guess. But I would like to see something like that. Other than that, I have no issues with the project at all.
Yeah, I think, the reason we have number 31 and we've identified specific requirements for the CC&Rs is because those are already in our code. And therefore, if they're in the CC&Rs, we can enforce them because they're also in our code. If you were to add, let me just kind of ask the question. So, and kind of clarify, you'd be talking about adding a condition that, sort of requires flexibility, in the future. I think the question is we can't, as staff, we can't, or the city can't add a CC&R that
it's outside of our code.
It's outside of our code.
Okay.
That's not true. We could do mitigations that are also part of, like CEQA mitigations are also part of the CC&Rs. I don't know. I guess I'd be interested in the wording of how that goes.
I'm not interested in reinventing the wheel tonight, but it is, I pretty much guarantee this can be a problem sometime in the future.
Yeah. You know? My legal hackles, I'm not an attorney, but my legal hackles arise about trying to craft something that would limit or limit the ability of the homeowners, the homeowners association to determine the requirements of their association. I guess that's what I'm concerned with.
It sounds to me like I think our hands are tied on being able to do something that's hard and fast here tonight. Perhaps the best thing we can do is just make, because the CCNRs obviously have not been created yet by anybody on the project, as a recommendation or a concern from those of us, you know, from opinions that you've heard from the Planning Commission about, you know, potential issues or potential hiccups, and potential roadblocks that may occur in the phasing of the development of this, and lay that responsibility back on the applicant as the applicant progresses in here. We're not going to be writing anything or doing anything that's going to be included in the CCNRs here tonight, but certainly encouraging the applicant to take note of the concerns about a something that's not yet built and the potential for alterations or something that are beyond what the scope of the projected drawings that are presented here tonight.
Right. I guess I would agree with that, an encouragement of them to, clearly there's concerns there, but that they handle that through crafting of the CCNRs and provide that flexibility if necessary.
Or just be aware, if nothing more. I mean, the homeowners association is always in their operational lives end up having, dealing with issues that quite often are not being very well clarified in the CCNRs. And not that we're going to clear everything up here tonight as well, but just a notation to make as those CCNRs are being developed that here's a potential for something that could happen downstream that you may want to think about, at least getting some clarification at the front end. So I think that's probably the best that we can do on that case.
Yeah, obviously, maybe that's the best we can do. And like I said, I'm not going to die on this hill, but I do think we have an interest in seeing that the properties located in these really key areas do, in fact, get their maximum potential. And I just see that there's more potential here, and it will be sort of could be forever frozen in space here. I'm not going to vote against it based on that, because it clearly meets code, all the other issues. But the one thing that we are doing tonight is switching it to a condo, which in my mind creates a pretty serious complication with this other piece of it. If it was all commercial, there would be sort of an understanding, as long as you're not hurting my business, you can proceed. But, which is why, I just see this as a potential, having seen neighborhood conflicts before, and now the neighbors have a lot of juice. That's all I'll say. Thanks.
Okay. Any other comments? If not, I'll certainly entertain a motion.
I'll just make a final comment.
Sure.
In agreement with Commissioner Guthrie here. I do support the project. I think the applicant did a great job with the constraints here. I think the constraints here did end up with what feels like a real missed opportunity.
Yeah, I would echo that exactly. And that's, I guess we have to talk to all the people listening, all zero of them. According to the AGP, but send out the at least note to staff. I'll speak for myself that I'm in favor right now, and looking at our housing situation, of making concessions to increase affordability. Simple as that. So that's all I have.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion on this resolution.
You're doing all those notes.
You want me to proceed with this?
You got the most notes and little purple things there.
Your changes approved.
Nothing's approved yet. I've got three here. Okay. I move that the Planning Commission approve the resolution of the City of Rio Grande approving tentative tract MAC 21-001 and conditional use permit 22-002 for the two properties currently located at 1214 East Grand Avenue and 181 North Elm Street, with the an additional special condition. I'm not sure which number this will end up with or where it would end up. I'm going to leave that to staff for the appropriate location, prohibiting future use of any of these residential units or any of the units, even the commercial unit that's down on Grand Avenue, but any of the condominium units be used as a short-term vacation rental. And I would like that special condition to be included as item E under the subdivision condition 31, so it would be included in the CCNRs as a special condition. And I think that's the only change that I see that we've made to this. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Are there any final comments? And if not, any other final comments? We can take a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Chair Martin, if you don't mind, really quickly before sure. we take a roll call, I was wondering if you could clarify on your condition. You mentioned that you'd like to prohibit vacation rentals. You think that should that also extend to homestays as well, or I mean, to all short-term rentals or only homestays?
Well, in my notes here, I just said short-term vacation rentals. And I was trying to just be consistent with what's already in the code here in the city. I just think given the nature and the location and the limitations on parking and access, I personally be in favor of just excluding any kind of, you know, short-term, rental. And if that's a short-term rental includes homestays under that umbrella, that's certainly appropriate to me. I'm not specifically trying to limit it only to a vacation rental, but, in an effort to make, we have a need for smaller, more affordable units in this community, and we don't have a moratorium per se on vacation rentals or short-term rentals, at least at this point in the community. But I do believe it is within our purview to make this kind of limitation, particularly on a unique residential development like this in the city. And for me, I'd like to see that included on this development.
Thank you, Chair Martin. And then if Commissioner Shiro could confirm that his second carries.
Confirm that, yes.
All right, so I'll do a quick roll call. So Chair Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
And Commissioner Guthrie?
Yes.
Thank you very much. This item has been approved.
Reading glasses.
Thank you very much. Good luck in your continued progress as this project gets put together.
Thank you.
Item 9 on our agenda is non-public hearing items. We have none. And it looks like there were no administrative items that have been approved in the last 2 weeks. Is that true, Mr. Perez? There are none that are listed on our agenda here.
There should be. on my agenda, there are 6 items. Under item 10. Really? If they're not on the your agendas, we'll re-notice them at our next meeting on.
Yeah, but in the minutes of our last meeting, there's 9, 10. There are 10 of them that are included, that are on the minutes that were published for tonight's meeting that we have approved. I don't see. I didn't see in my package the administrative items that were approved in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, there should have been about 6 of them. So we'll make sure that we get those noticed on the next agenda.
Okay. Very good. Heavens knows I've missed things in the past already tonight. But, whatever it may be, I'm a human being here. Okay, so the administrative items will be added to the agenda for our next meeting. Any closing comments or communications from the commission?
I'd just say good luck to the AG High School baseball team that's probably finishing up any minute right now. They're in the playoffs against Napomo, so go team.
Very good.
Yeah, that's why I wore the shirt.
Closing comment?
No comment.
The comment that I would make, it certainly relates, but I think a little bit indirectly on the project that we just saw, but I'm piggybacking off of what Mr. Guthrie said. It'd be interesting, I think, to encourage consideration for a minimum development, a minimum density in certain parcels as we go through in seeking affordable housing. Without getting into any specifics, I can think of at least two examples where less than more dense development ended up occurring, where I think that a more dense project would have probably benefited, you know, the community in its need to find more affordable housing and more units. So, there's no specific situation other than, just if we have a 1 acre parcel, doesn't mean that we have to put, just two units or four units on it. And it's tough when an applicant comes in and says, I'm going to have X number of units on my parcel. But I think that it's worth looking at as we're looking at rezoning and updating the housing element, that if we have certain corridors, particularly that are in concert with what the state is trying to do with include housing, whether we can do that as a mandate or do that as a strong recommendation, I think that's something that's worthy of a conversation, consideration by City Council. We can't dictate the staff do anything specific, but keep that in the back of your mind that I agree that I think a minimum density criteria for some lots and some neighborhoods or some, zoning areas in the community might be appropriate. Well, no, I don't mean maximum. I mean minimum. It's the type of thing, whether it's this or, other projects that we have seen where, I've got a 10-acre parcel and I want to bring in 20 residences and we're going to split it up into SFRs. Why not say, okay, but, a third of it needs to be 3,000 square foot lots and be multi, family and make that as a minimum density requirement. So we may have maximum of 25 units or whatever that may be in some of these more dense apartment complexes, but also creating a minimum one that, I've got this corner lot at the corner of Main and Main in town. I want to put a 6,000 square foot single house on that. Well, no, that's not the appropriate. We need a 20 unit, three story apartment building. So,
I'll just add that I was specifically thinking in the commercial zones or close to commercial zones where it actually makes some sense that you could have reduced parking because you clearly have walking distance or biking distance. I think we may literally with SB9. Yeah. We're probably beyond the Brown Act right now, but with SB9, that we're literally that single family residences split up the right way might have more density than this project did, and be miles away from anything. But
I'm not trying to get us into any kind of trouble in discussion, but throwing that out there is something that I think we need to be considering.
No, that's good. That is good feedback, though. As we're going into the general plan update. The full comprehensive update, it's good to understand kind of the support from the Planning Commission about items like that. So
very good. So any staff communications?
Just a couple. We've had a couple of promotions in the department. Namely, Andrew Perez was the acting planning manager. He's done an amazing job as the acting planning manager and has become the full planning manager just recently. So I want to congratulations to Andrew. And then our second promotion is over to my right. Patrick also has done just an excellent job in our department. He was an assistant planner. He has been promoted into associate planner. That was Andrew's previous position. So folks are moving up and getting more responsibility, and it's going to be important when we jump into the general plan update we've got a full team here on the planning side.
All hands on deck. Congratulations, gentlemen, both of you.
Congrats.
And with that, it's about 7:10. This meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.